Hello and welcome back to Let the Stone Speak. I'm Brent Nuchtigal, the host of the program. I've got to talk to you about this amazing discovery that's just taken place in the city of David, ancient Jerusalem. They have carbon dated a massive dam wall that's over 11 meters high at the bottom of the city of David, connecting what's known as the city of David to the Western Hill, basically bridging this valley, the Tyropian Valley. And they've dated it to 2,800 years ago, predating, I think, some of the best estimates by about 100 years. But we didn't have any conclusive evidence of the dating. And so this is really important. It's making headlines all through Israel and then some other places in the world as well, just because it puts the dating of this huge construction back into the time period of the biblical kings. So what we're going to do for today's program is watch a little video that the City of David and the Antiquities Authority produced. And then we are going to discuss the underlying research paper about this discovery, or let's just say the dating of this discovery. And then I'll share with you some of my thoughts about what are the ramifications in terms of biblical history and archaeology that this discovery has. So first of all, let's go to this video, really well produced by the Antiquities Authority and the City of David Foundation alongside the Wiseman Institute. Here it is.
אנחנו נמצאים בחפירות רשות העתיקות ובריכת השילוח שבעיר דוד, בגן לאומי סובב חומות ירושלים.
אז פה זה מוצא תעלה 2 שהעביר את המים ממעיין הגיחון אל בריכת השילוח.
בריכת השילוח היא המקום הנמוך ביותר בירושלים הקדומה. לכאן בעצם מגיעים כל המים, כל הנגר העילי, הגשמים שבעצם יורדים על אגן הניקוז המרכזי והגדול ביותר של העיר.
מאחורינו נמצא קיר סכר מונומנטלי, עצום בגודלו, מעל 11 מטר גובה, שמתוארך ללפני 2800 שנה בתקופת בית ראשון, בתקופת המלכים יואש ואמציהו. הקיר הזה הוא קיר מונומנטלי שלא נמצא כמותו בארץ ישראל, בפרט בתקופה הזאת ובכלל לאורך כל התקופות עד ימינו אנו.
למלא קיר הסכר הזה, המים שזורמים באפיק הזה פשוט היו זורמים אל תוך ערוץ הקדרון, הישר אל ים המלח. כשחשפנו את קיר הסכר, לא ידענו האם הקיר הישר והקיר המשופע הם שייכים לאותו מפעל בנייה. וגם לא ידענו מה התאריך שלהם. והתוצאות של הפחמן 14 הדהימו אותנו, כיוון שהם לקחו את התיארוך הרבה יותר קודם, לתקופה שירושלים עדיין במחלוקת על מעמדה ועוצמתה, ופתאום אנחנו מבינים היום שמדובר בעיר בקנה מידה אחר לגמרי.
So the unique thing about our lab is that we actually come and take the samples ourselves in the field.
גלים של גלעד.
אם יש.
בוא נראה אם יש פה את הקש.
את רואה את הנגטיבות הזה של קש. זה לא פשוט, במיקרוסקופ זה יותר טוב כמובן.
השרידים האלו במצב השתמרות כזה הם מאוד נדירים, אבל מאוד מדויקים.
We took three different mortar samples from the three places and took straw out of them. Basically they all came the exact same measurement, 800 BC.
אם עד היום יכולנו רק לקרוא בטקסט המקראי על קיומה של בריכת השילוח, היום אנחנו יכולים לראות את השרידים המוחשיים שלה ואת תחילת היווצרותה מלפני 2800 שנה.
We've been working in Jerusalem already more than 10 years. It was a great surprise to see that many other buildings indeed related to water were dated at the same time. When we saw this, a question came, of course, why? What happened around 800 in these centuries? We saw and we could explain this huge activity in buildings for water accumulation to build the relation to the climate change. And so the people in Jerusalem understood that if I want to survive here with this very seldom, very random climate, I need a reservoir.
אנחנו מדברים פה על סוף תקופת הברזל 2א, 100 שנה לפני חזקיהו, תקופה מדהימה של העיר, ופתאום אנחנו מקבלים פה עוצמה עירונית בסדר גודל אחר. כל חפירה בעיר דוד היא תמיד מרתקת. תמיד כיף להיות בסיטואציות האלו, כשאתה מקבל נתון שמתחבר ומשלים בעצם את הפאזל צורה כל כך כל כך יפה.
So yeah, phenomenal discovery here. They've linked it to climate change. and some of the influx of drought and then also flash floods during the 9th century. And perhaps this is the reason why they decided to dam off these areas to build a reservoir. We'll talk a little bit about that, but I mainly want to focus on the construction, when this was constructed, when it was built, and then some of the ramifications for dating of things in the city of David from archaeology, including the science of carbon-14 or radiocarbon dating as well. First, let's go to the paper itself. This paper was published in the PNAS journal. It's entitled Radiocarbon Dating of Jerusalem Siloam Dam Links Climate Data and Major Waterworks. So you've got a couple of ideas here. One is, we've got a huge dam. They've just been uncovering it for the past year and a half. We've walked down there many times and seen their work that they've done, removing this, what is known as the Siloam Pool. That's what it's known by today. And they've been removing this, and then as they got to the bottom of it, they've also done some, recently done some carbon sampling as well. And so this is part of the paper, and then also they are linking it together with other dating of water features that they've done previously around the spring itself, known as the Spring Tower, and then also a cistern more in the northwestern part of the ancient city of David. Now this is important because they are trying to link all three of these water installations to sometime in the 9th century, and then putting it together, what else happened during the 9th century? Well, there was a change in the climate and so on. Now, I think the best part of this article is probably from the newest element that they're adding, and that is the redating or the dating of this dam wall to 800 BC. So you'll remember that this the period of when things are dated or when things were built in Jerusalem is a pretty big deal. The Bible says that David was the original conqueror of Jerusalem around 1000, and then his son, King Solomon, he's the builder of Jerusalem, greatly expanding the city towards the north. And then just when the city expanded from this eastern ridge, which includes the city of David, the Ophel area, Mount Moriah, when it expands across the Tyropian Valley towards the west to the higher western hill, we don't really know. It's been up for debate for a long time. And so this, any time that we have earlier dating than preconceived or earlier dating than the scholarly opinion is, I think it's important. Because you are actually pushing back towards what would be more considered, I would say, a biblical date for some of these construction projects. Let's go to the paper. This is how the paper starts. Using well-established microarchaeological sampling methods, well, this is the summary, we reached a precise radiocarbon date of 800 BC for the Siloam Pool's monumental water dam in Jerusalem. This is a huge dam. My father actually did big dams like this, or even bigger ones, between valleys and things like this. So I remember as a young fella going out to work with him, and he's got all the heavy machinery making these massive dam walls to collect rainwater and things like this. And to think that, hey, this was done and put together 2,800 years ago with these monumental walls using ashlar stones. These are worked bedrock stones. And then the whole thing being plastered. It's amazing. I mean, it's 19 meters long as you saw. It's 11 meters high, 10 meters wide in thickness, because there's a lot of water pressure. Since you've got that much water pressure on this, it needs to be quite thick. Okay, back to the paper. It says, this is how it begins. The need for water has always been a key factor for the placement of settlements in the Levant. Thus, it's no surprise that Jerusalem's earliest settlement was built around the Gihon Spring, located in the eastern slope of the southeastern ridge, popularly known as the City of David. I don't know why this is in quotes. City of David, it's popular to put the City of David in quotes for some reason. Known as the City of David, that's the biblical terminology for this area. It's the City of David. So I don't know why it necessarily has quotes. Although several ancient water systems elements have been exposed, the lack of absolute dating and vastly different attributed dates have made it impossible to consider them as a single system. With the new radiocarbon dates, a picture of a well-planned and executed large water system is emerging. So it's putting together these three, again, water system in the north, spring tower fortifications in the east, and then in the south now we have this pool. So it's going to go through some of the dating, and we'll just start with this. I think it's a little bit easier to start with the dating that they came up with for the Spring Tower. Now, the Spring Tower is huge. The stones that are used in the Spring Tower are irregular shaped, massive boulders that are put together, and these walls are just huge. They were dated by the excavators themselves to the Middle Bronze Age too. So we're going back 1800 BCE, time of Abraham, to put a biblical personality, or a little bit thereafter. And it goes all the way around the spring, the Gihon Spring itself, which is in the valley. Not all the way in the valley, but very close. It's on the western side of the Kidron Valley. And then it goes around it as a defense. Now, they came and carbon dated this a few years ago, and they dated a part of it that is right on the exterior of it, not in the guts of it, not underneath one of these massive boulders, not in the construction of it, but kind of underneath. Is it underneath? Is it not really underneath? That's why there's some debate over this. The excavators put it to Middle Bronze Age. The construction style matches the Middle Bronze Age. I actually don't think that there are too many people that would redate the whole large monumental fortification around the spring out of the Middle Bronze Age completely. Perhaps there was, and indeed there most likely was, some type of washing in or even a restoration project that was done in the 9th century, maybe going down towards, well, in the 9th century. I'm not saying that, but I wouldn't redate the whole thing out of the Middle Bronze Age. I don't think the data calls for it. Nevertheless, from this location, you have two channels that feed water down towards where this dam is. The earliest one of these is known as Channel 2. This is what Nachshon Zanton there in that video referred to. That's what he was standing in, coming out of. And this is the original water channel that feeds water down into this dam. And it's, if you visit the City of David and you're going down towards what's known as Hezekiah's Tunnel, today, before you hit the water and you look to your left, or your left, that's where the, what's known as the Canaan, they've got signs there for the Canaanite tunnel, they call it. And this used to take the water. The water used to go from the Gihon Spring into a large pool that's still there, travel down Channel 2, and then fill up what we know now as this pool that was there during, at the very latest, 800 BCE. Now, when 100 years later, King Hezekiah is preparing for the Assyrian siege, the Bible says that he builds a conduit, a water tunnel, a ta'ala, and it goes underneath, brings the water from the spring to the western side of the city. This is a tunnel that's mentioned in three different passages in the Bible. Isaiah, Chronicles, and Kings talk about this waterworks that the prophet that Hezekiah did around probably just before 700. And so when he did that, since Hezekiah's tunnel, or this tunnel that Hezekiah built, is lower than the upper tunnel, Channel 2, that used to feed this dam, fell out of use. So water is no longer traveling through this Channel 2. It's all traveling through what's come to be known as Hezekiah's tunnel. And I don't think, although there are some that would be willing or want to push Hezekiah's tunnel out of the time period of Hezekiah, I don't believe the evidence points to that. Even the carbon sample that they took underneath the floor of Hezekiah, or in Hezekiah's tunnel, dates to later than the construction period of this dam. I think the fact that four samples all date to around 800 speaks to 800 being the construction period of this dam wall. Let's just get to this part in a second. This is results and discussion. Siloam Pool Dam. We collected chunks of hard yellowish mortar in between the outer stones of the dam's vertical part, wall 001. Two separately collected uncharred straw samples were dated from the mortar, and a third sample consisted of a few charred twigs. Then, from the slanting reinforcement's core, we dated one sample of charred straw fragments from the mortar. All four dates were very similar and could be averaged, giving a calibrated combined date of basically 800. So, very cool. This is absolutely great, because it, in terms of reconstructing the history of the area of the City of David, it means they had a massive water reservoir at least by the 8th century, by the very start of the 8th century. But it also means that something else is going on here. It means that Hezekiah's tunnel, this other tunnel, which makes the channel 2 fall out of use, channel 2, remembering that this is the one that filled, of course, it was filled the pool or the dam. It was also filled probably from runoff. Hezekiah's tunnel actually exits at a point that is further along or further up the hill from the pool itself and up the hill inside the Tyropian Valley. And so just a couple of points about this now in terms of its what might be. Let's say might, because it's very hard to prove all of this at this point, but I think this discovery gives a new interpretation or evidence for a different interpretation than what I had previously conceived for the ancient water systems of Jerusalem. If I was going to put the ancient water systems of Jerusalem together, you have three different systems. You have the first one that's related to the Middle Bronze Age that is defending or around, maybe three or four, around the spring itself. And from that, you have the included in that same time period, most likely, is you have the huge water or the large pool that is by the spring itself, and that water is retrieved from there. Later on, I don't know exactly when, at least by 800, based on this evidence, they build a dam all the way down at the bottom of the city of David, and for a reservoir, perhaps the pool that's halfway there on the city of halfway down the city of David by the Gihon Spring isn't large enough anymore. The city has expanded by this time period, and so they need more water collection, and so they're going to build a dam and have a new reservoir there. Now, and then after that time period, we have Hezekiah for some reason deciding that I need to build a new tunnel at a huge expense and manpower, because they built this tunnel, goes 1,700 meters, it goes through solid rock. They need to do it fast, so they come at it from both ends. And the exit point of this is not anywhere near Channel 2. It doesn't make sense. You already have a water tunnel going called Channel 2 going to this dam, so why build another one? Now, why build another one? My question would be, perhaps this dam itself, this dam that they're finding right now, was not actually inside the city walls. You remember, as Hezekiah is preparing for the siege or the Assyrian invasion, the Assyrian king Sennacherib comes down and takes over all the different cities of Judah, and he's bearing down in Jerusalem. And then King Hezekiah prepares to bring the water, blocks, it says, the upper water course of the Gihon. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 30. And this is the English Standard Version. It says, "The same Hezekiah closed the upper outlet of the waters of the Gihon and directed them down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works." So this upper water course of the Gihon, that was Channel 2, most likely. And that flowed down to this dam. And instead, and which is basically south and a little bit to the west of where the Gihon Spring is. And this is saying that, no, he brought it not through this channel. He blocked that channel. And the way he blocked it is just make another tunnel with lower elevation to force the water to go through there. Gravity will make sure it goes through that one. And bring it to an outlet that is further up on the Tyropian Valley and more in the western side of the city. And so that's what it says here, that he succeeded in doing this. And then, of course, in Hezekiah's tunnel, you also have this beautiful inscription at the very end of it, which talks about how these teams, and it's written in perfect late 8th century Paleo-Hebrew writing. They came from both sides, and, you know, they got to the point of meeting, and they, you know, went pick against pick, and the water flowed and so on. And you actually walk through Hezekiah's tunnel, and you can see the place at which they met, where the carving from one side looks this way and the carving from the next side looks that way. And then there's a little dip. The only place there's a dip in the whole of Hezekiah's tunnel for 1,700 feet is right where they met, matching perfectly the inscription that's currently in the museum in Istanbul. So what this means is, if Hezekiah is preparing for the siege, blocks off the one channel. Now, why does he block off the one channel? If you go to further beginning on this in this chapter, it says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 3. It says he planned with his officers and his mighty men how to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him. Now, does this mean all the springs outside of Jerusalem? I mean, the theme of this chapter is about the preparations for the siege of Jerusalem. And so I'm not sure. Maybe it just relates to Jerusalem. Maybe it relates to more. However, by the end of it, it does talk about him blocking a spring so that water comes into the city, into the western side of the city. Verse 4 says, "And a great many people were gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land." It seems, again, they're not blocking the Jordan. They're not blocking another stream. It seems this is talking about the stream that the brook or the stream that came from the Gihon, perhaps. They stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Much water. They're going to find much water. We've got to stop them from finding much water. And then it says, "Then Hezekiah, he set work to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down, raised the towers on it," and so on. So he's preparing for the siege. Another passage in Isaiah chapter 22 talks about more of these preparations for the siege. Again, Isaiah is contemporary with Hezekiah. They're existing at the same time. We found the Hezekiah buller and the Isaiah seal impression right next to each other on the UFL with Dr. Eilat Mazar. That was reported about a decade ago now. These were two figures that were very much together. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 22, in verse 9, it says this, and this is from the English Standard Version again. It says, "And you saw that the breaches of the city of David were many, and you collected or gathered together the waters of the lower pool." Now, in the book of Isaiah, you have the Gihon spring is mentioned a couple of times, and the water that comes from it. The earliest mention is in Isaiah chapter 8, and it says that the waters that the people rejected, the waters of Shiloach that flow softly, and this is the start of the book, and so this is probably before Hezekiah's tunnel is built. So you have that, and then as you go on, this is probably channel 2, and they're rejecting those slow waters, and then you have the situation where they're building a new tunnel, and you have two pools discussed, a lower pool and an upper pool, one that was higher in elevation, and it says you have... What did you do? You gathered together the waters of the lower pool. What is the lower pool? It seems to me that the lower pool is this one that they just found. This one that used to have water in it. But when Hezekiah built his tunnel, did this one continue to have water in it? That's the big question. My question would be, is there another early pool? Let's say it's a little bit later than the 8th century, and it located further towards where Hezekiah's tunnel ends, and that itself was inside the city. He brought it inside the city. Otherwise, why the need to build a new conduit? If both conduits are taking water to the same old pool, it makes sense that there were actually two. Now, if you go into a later period, perhaps it is that they've morphed into one. I'm not saying that. However, it seems to me that there were two pools here located inside the Tyropian Valley. One of them was bigger. One of them is the one that they found, and they've dated to 800. And then perhaps a later one where Hezekiah directed his water to. It's hard to know for sure, but I think that's what the biblical reconstruction says. Now, before the dating of this, I didn't really think about it too much. I had this question. A lot of people asked me, so is this the lower pool? Is this the upper pool? Is this the old pool? And I was always very hesitant because it was very hard for me to piece it all together. However, this one's lower and it's older than it seems to be the pool that Hezekiah would have built to safeguard the waters of the Gihon and to stop the Assyrian kings from coming to get it. So what's then interesting in my mind, and I'm going far further than what they say in this paper. Again, great work to the archaeologists. Great work to the staff of the Weizmann Institute, Joanna Regev, Elizabeth Barreto, with their work here, really adding to the reconstruction and the history of Jerusalem through these dates that they've given. But I'm interested in, what is the earliest possible date for this pool? The latest possible date we have for its construction, they just gave it to us, 800. Now, if you look in the biblical text, when is the earliest mention of a pool that would be connected to a king? Now, there's tradition about Solomon's pools that are far later, and so they're not necessarily, I would say, bound by the text. However, if we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, now this book is generally attributed to Solomon, although there's big conjecture about when everything was written down. However, it does say in Ecclesiastes that whoever is writing this in Ecclesiastes, and I think it matches best with the character of Solomon, it actually talks about pools. It says this in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 6. It says, I built reservoirs to water my groves. This is an individual of flourishing trees. And so he's got flourishing trees around, I guess. Doesn't say Jerusalem, but it could be. And it's a pool that's associated with it. Now, connecting this another step, you have the book of the Song of Songs, Shir Shirim, and the great Gabriel Bacchae, probably the best, or let's say the living archaeologist that knows the most about the history of Jerusalem. He's just come out with a paper which discusses the early writing, the 10th century date for the writing of the Song of Songs. Or we sometimes in English Bible, we call it Song of Solomon. It's generally attributed to Solomon. And that's come under attack, obviously, for a long, long, long time that it wasn't written by Solomon. However, according to him, from the text itself and the historical references and so on, it matches best with the 10th century date. And inside that, it talks about this garden where King Solomon walked with all these fruitful trees and things like that. And where was this king's garden? It was somewhere that was going to be well watered. And so by putting these together, and I understand this is not hard science at this time, but it's definitely interesting to put the biblical passages together with what they found. It seems to me that there are reservoirs being built as early as the 10th century, and what they've found here inside the mortar and inside the very top of this dam wall is a date that puts it start of the end of the 9th century and perhaps even earlier. Now, what would be good is if they did a massive trench right through this dam wall. I know it's 10 meters thick and I know it's 11 meters high. Do a big trench all the way down and then let's try and get some dating material from the earlier, from the foundation. Because oftentimes in Jerusalem, this place that's fraught with earthquakes, you have reconstructions being done on the same location time and time again. The Millo, for instance, it's mentioned Hezekiah strengthened the Millo. It's mentioned that Solomon strengthens the Millo. It's mentioned that David builds the Millo. So they're all doing construction in the same place. And if you would have picked off a stone off the top of the Millo, if it is the stepstone structure in Jerusalem, maybe you'll get a date that dates to Hezekiah's time. I'm not sure. But get into the core. And do we find something from even earlier than the 9th century? I'm not sure. This is an archaeologist's wish list right now. But it could be dating all the way back to this time period. Now, again, they have done fantastic work on this. So pleased that we have another monumental construction project that is dating even earlier than first thought possible, perhaps even. It goes well with what the carbon dating study that was released last year that took dates from the very northwestern part of the city of David off the top of the ridge into the Tyropian Valley again, and they found a building 100 there, and they have carbon dates, even though they kind of pushed it in the study towards in their summary towards the mid-9th century. Their dates matched to the late 10th century BCE. And so I think we have this wave of dates that are coming out, be it down in the south, City of David, be it in the Givati, that are pushing back these building construction projects early. Now, one final thought is this comes up often, and this is about when Jerusalem expanded off the Eastern Ridge, off the City of David Ridge. And there is more and more evidence to provide an early date for this shortly after the 10th century, or perhaps in the latter part of the 10th century, you have first construction taking place off the top of the ridge into the Tyropian Valley. Maybe the city wall didn't go around it yet. Maybe there was no city wall even around this pool until Hezekiah, well, until maybe the city wall was a little bit further toward up the Tyropian Valley, I'm not sure. But as more excavation gets done and as more precise measuring of dating is used and utilized, we are finding earlier dates. And that means that the whole, I think, Western Hill was probably settled a little bit earlier than anticipated. I also think it's very important what they're doing with these calibrated carbon dates. The reason why it's important is because oftentimes archaeologically, the only way that we can get dating is dating through the floors of the building itself. So you've got the wall, and then you've got the stuff underneath the floor itself, and the stuff on top of the floor. And it gives you a dating construction window for the building itself. But the problem with this is, and the problem with a place that's not destroyed often, and in Jerusalem, there's no real destructions from the 10th to the 10th centuries till the massive earthquake a couple hundred years later. And so what would be the most accurate way to date the buildings when the floors themselves are used for hundreds of years? This is the problem with dating to the traditional way only, I would say, in Jerusalem. Or let's say problem of utilizing only the traditional way to date buildings in Jerusalem. The best way is to get into the construction materials. The best way is to get into the walls themselves. Get into the walls, and that's what they've done here. I think this is opening up a great window for more specific dating for structures in Jerusalem. And hopefully we'll use more of that in the future. But thanks very much for staying with me through this. I can't wait to tour this again. I was down there about a month ago to walk through this area. Nachshon Zanton was concluding a tour. Just as I got there, I was still at the Ophel area working on our excavations, and so I missed the start of the tour. But it is a huge dam project and a great contribution to the study of ancient Jerusalem. So well done to the whole team, and thanks very much for listening to the program. If you like what we're covering on this program, don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel. And also, if you want our magazine, don't forget to write to letters@armstronginstitute.org or go to our website, armstronginstitute.org, and scroll down. You'll find a place to subscribe to our free magazine on Bible and archaeology. Thanks very much for listening.